From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Thanks very much, Ollie Barrett. Welcome to Thursday's Richie Allen Radio Show. How you doing? It's been a very mild, it's been a warm day here in Salford and Greater Manchester. Quite lovely, in fact. It's just me and you today, but I don't think that'll bother you. I've got plenty to tell you about, and I look forward to hearing from you as well on Twitter. You know how to do that. Live on multiple platforms, your Richie Allen Radio Show. Nothing like it. What do you say, Kay?
Fabulous.
It's all good.
It's the Richie Allen Show. Broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Yeah, I felt like the mother of all dickheads this morning. Yeah, we're in with the swearing fairly early today. I felt like some cretin. I'll tell you why in a minute. Welcome again. Again, welcome to the program. Hope you're well. It's Thursday. Thursday's a big day in Manchester's independent media, because later on you've got the Trigger Warning Show with Graham Booth and Hayden Hewitt around about 10 o'clock tonight. It is 10, isn't it? It is. Check it out, triggerwarning.tv. I've got a news roundup for you, unlike any other news roundup, at least that I've heard anyway. So the thing to do is to get on with it. I had a terrific, well, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I thought, I had a very good morning newspaper review show lined up for you. And I was all set to go. And about 27 minutes past nine, I sat down and I realised that the camera wasn't working on my new-ish laptop. I've had it 3 or 4 weeks now. And I thought, okay, I'll do a bit of troubleshooting here and there. And anyway, I couldn't do anything about it. And I missed the live stream. So I got on to the manufacturers, Hewlett-Packard. I got on to... And they had no idea. And I got on to the shop, the business where I bought the laptop. Nobody had any clue. I went on to the search engine, and I got all sorts of tips on how to do this and that and go to this program here and do this and do that, and your camera will come back to no avail. And I thought, I'm going to end up now, because it's in warranty, I'm going to end up having to have it replaced or serviced. And after hours, genuinely hours, I happened, as I got up, kind of in a bit of a fit of temper from the sofa where I was sitting, stewing, and out of the corner of my eye I saw a little silver button at the side of the laptop, and I thought, what does that do? And I looked at it closely, and would you believe it, it was a kill switch for the camera on the laptop.
What kind of fuckery is this?
I never saw this. I never came across a laptop with a button on the side of it that you switch and it kills the camera. Never. I've never seen anything like that. But anyway, my laptop has one, and just by switching it again, it restored the camera. So I felt like a bit of a tit, so I did. But there you go. I'm glad I don't have to take it any further, if you know what I mean, in terms of getting the manufacturing warranty invoked. Now, we're coming up for 7 minutes past the hour. A little bit of public service broadcasting. I considered doing this yesterday, and then I knew I wouldn't have time to do it with Eric Gajewski and Father Paul Kramer coming on the programme. And then I thought about not doing it, because I thought by doing it, there will be people who will think, you're a bit of a bully now there, Richie. Now, of course, I've never been a bully or anything like it, or anything remotely approaching it. But I've got to do this because it's important. It's a follow-up on something I've been talking about for a few years anyway. I'm talking about Ken O'Keefe, or Kenny Nichols. Ken O'Keefe is not his real name, of course. Ken is a serial con man, and if there was any real justice, and if the victims of his scams could get anywhere near him, undoubtedly Ken would have gone to court, and by now Ken would be in prison. He's a confidence trickster extraordinaire, and he has swindled at least hundreds of thousands of pounds from supporters over the years. Get rich quick schemes designed by him to look like charitable endeavours, particularly around the people of Gaza, the people of Palestine. He is absolutely wretched, this guy, in every sense of the word. Max Egan exposed him a few years ago, and a number of people he had worked with exposed him when they weren't being paid for work that he had employed them to do, but then they noticed that the great sums of money that he had been donated, he was using those sums to basically fly around the world in first class, and that his schemes, the most recent of one, by the way, was the One World Citizen scheme, where Ken promised if you sent him enough money, he would outlaw war by way of helping you avoid pay income tax, helping you claim that you had a justifiable moral cause in not paying your income tax because your government was using your income taxes for war. This was nonsense. It was a pyramid scheme. And that particular scheme netted Ken the best part of £120,000. Now, Ken was stupid enough. You think Prince Andrew was stupid. Ken was stupid enough to come on my radio program to try and defend it about just under 4 years ago. Basically committed suicide in a desperate 90-minute conversation with me where it was fairly easy. I think even a novice broadcaster would have turned him inside out. It was disgraceful. And nothing ever came of his plans to, his promises to see out this One World Citizen scheme and end war through withholding of taxation and all that garbage. You might remember one of the things that happened at the time. Ken was telling all sorts of lies about having a document from a lawyer called Curtis Dobler. Now, I knew about Curtis Dobler. Ken said, Dobler has given me a legal opinion that is the essence of the One World Citizen plan. It's the proof. It's all we need. So I said to Ken, send me the... I can't send you the document, said Ken, the lawyer. I can't because I don't want my enemies to know the strategy I am using. Of course, I rang up Dobler in New York. I phoned him up and I said, Curtis, what's going on? And Dobler said, well, I did give Ken O'Keefe an opinion. I charged him a couple of $1,000s for it. And the opinion was basically this. If you use the defence of non-payment of income taxes, if your defence is that you've got a moral objection to paying your income tax because your government uses it to kill people, you're going to fail, said Mr. Dobler. You'll fail. It's been tried before, Richie. He said it's a defence that you can use, but I wouldn't recommend it to any of my clients. That's what Ken paid a couple of $1,000s to Dobler for. Ken is back, Ken O'Keefe. Now, this man has swindled, it is no exaggeration to say, probably the best part of £500,000 that we know of in a number of schemes, like Ship to Gaza and others, right? Aloha Palestine. Shady, dodgy schemes, which collapsed, all of them, in acrimony and recrimination. With Ken's volunteers all the time, by the way, running a million miles away from him and trying to tell the world that he is swindling people. Swindling them. All of these schemes. Ken ended up with a house in London and, well, travelling around the world, Dominica and all the rest of it. Now, Ken has resurfaced and let's have a listen to some of what Ken has been telling people. It's Ken O'Keefe now. He's a mythomaniac and a life member of the Truther Industrial Complex. He's posted a brand new video on YouTube and we can listen to some of it together. You and me, Ken O'Keefe. This was recorded 2 days ago in Hawaii.
Hello. Aloha, everybody. Look, I'm going to be short and to the point. The wind is blowing here. Listen, I need some help.
Right, Ken needs some help. He needs some help. What does he want help for, Ken O'Keefe? What's going on, Ken? Why do you need financial help now?
I have always managed to get by with what I need. But the truth of the matter is that over the last 2 weeks, I was homeless on the street in the north shore of Oahu, where I rescued 46 turtles and garnered international attention. And
what's this about turtles now in Oahu? What's it got to do with them being homeless? He finds that funny.
Got a marine sanctuary built despite death threats from Asian mafia who did not want to see any area of any part of Hawaii.
He built a marine sanctuary at some time in the past, apparently. He didn't. This is nonsense, of course. Despite the efforts of the triads to prevent him from saving the marine life of Hawaii.
Cut off from their fishing because, quite frankly, the Asian fishing fleets, amongst others, are raping the waters all over Hawaii, the Hawaiian Islands and archipelago. This is a fact. And given my love for the ocean and my connection to the ocean, it is indeed my first love, aside from my mom.
Which is it, your mom or the ocean?
You know, I was all too willing to risk my life to defend what I love.
And big hero Kenny's always risking his life for the planet.
And yet I was homeless. In fact, I was a bum. Circumstances conspired to strip me of my money. I was robbed at Waimea Bay. The iPad that my mom had, one of the very last things that I had that was hers, stolen. iPhone 6S, stolen.
Now, these are things Ken is claiming happened very recently. Very recently in Hawaii, Ken had an iPad belonging to his mother, stolen, and an iPhone 6S. I don't know what that is or what it looks like. But I thought Ken was kind of the Guns of the Navarone. I thought Ken was Sonny Chiba and Bruce Lee rolled into one. How is it that it was so easy for people to steal from him, these prized possessions?
Two pairs of Ray-Bans, which I've had for...
Two pairs of Ray-Bans as well.
For many years, and I take very good care of, and to be honest, I never would have bought another pair. Stolen food that I had just managed to get.
He had his food stolen as well. And where were you when all this was going on, Ken?
Oh, I could live in my cave. There's a cave. It looks...
What? What's this about a cave? He was living in a cave, apparently, was he? A cave.
Stolen food that I had just managed to get so I could live in my cave. There's a cave. It looks like a skull on Waimea Bay. Most people are afraid of it.
Most people are afraid of it, but not you, Ken. Because Ken is, well, hard. He's really hard. So life in the cave then, Ken. I mean, if you have a cave, in theory, you're not homeless, right? What about the cave?
I actually had no problems there. In fact, I felt quite at peace, but I did sleep on a rock.
So it was all going swimmingly in the cave. I felt at peace there. If it wasn't for, I had to sleep on a rock.
That's what the cave was, a rock.
A rock.
But it provided me shelter because I did have one night after many nights where I was literally... I had been ripped off of clothes, too, so I only had a pair of board shorts, very thin, some sandals, no shirt, and a back brace thing, so it gave me a bit of protection in my midsection, and a Hugo Boss jacket, which the idiots who stole from me in Waimea Bay.
He had a Hugo Boss jacket stolen as well, Ray-Bans, food, his clothes. An iPad and an iPhone 6S, this all happened very recently. Ken doesn't tell us whether he reported the theft, if he knows who did it. It just happened and we better believe it happened. He finds it funny.
They could have gotten more money for that Hugo Boss jacket, which I bought for a phenomenal deal.
You got a phenomenal deal, did you, on a Hugo Boss jacket, did you, Ken?
I think it was like £19. Maybe it was £70 or something, but that jacket...
£19 or £70. Christ, there's a bit of a difference there, right? A difference of £51.
If you were to buy it new, even used in the condition that it's in, but certainly new, about $1,000. So more than an iPhone 6S, considerably more. Anyway, you know, all that led to a situation where I scraped together enough, once I was able to make a quick contact, to actually get into a hostel.
Right, you got into a hostel. Stay on message, Ken. Let's keep on the homeless thing. It's important.
I really will be homeless again, and I have too many bags to carry. despite being ripped off of most.
I have so many bags to carry, I cannot be homeless.
Most everything, I do have a few last things remaining. There's all sorts of evidence to show that people around me are being, like they seem, they're friendly at first when they see me, and, oh, Ken, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, something happens.
Yeah, you steal their fucking money, Ken. That's what happens. People will meet you, and they're sucked in by your schemes. They believe you are sincere when you say you want to help people in Gaza, and you want to get aid and food to Gaza. But then they realise that it's just a scam. That's never going to be seen. It's never going to see fruition, and you're going to be left holding a bag of money, Ken. And that's when they generally tend to step away from you. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Now, my enemies will say I'm just an asshole, and they...
They certainly do.
They really don't want to see me, and, well, fair enough. But that's not the case.
And being an asshole is the least of your crimes, by the way.
Something happens based on what I know of my own personal path. I am very much a threat to the powers that be. World citizen is the biggest threat. And
world citizen is the biggest threat to the powers that be, says Ken O'Keefe. This is very important now, because this guy does have, even though this guy is a mythomaniac in the extreme, he has had, maybe not does have, has had an enormous following in the Truth or Industrial Complex. And those who follow the Truth or Industrial Complex, the majority of them are decent people that want to see an end to what's happening in Gaza and want to see an end to what's happening in Syria. He has enjoyed a very high profile. This is why I'm doing this. Not to bully him, not to piss on his grave, because the guy is finished, but as a cautionary tale to you and to everybody else who hears this, to stop sending money to charlatans like this guy here. He's never been a threat to the authorities or the powers that be. Of course, if anything, he's done their work for them, hasn't he?
They have done everything in their power to prevent me from launching, including killing me last
year. No, the powers that be didn't do everything in their power to prevent you from launching World Citizen. Because what you did, Ken, was took the £120,000 and you pissed it down a fucking toilet. And if you weren't pissing it down a toilet or sticking it into your arm, you were flying around the world in first class, Dominica, the Far East, North America, Australia, having a right good fucking time on the hard-earned money of some of the worst-off people in society. Because it is the worst-off people who donate to causes like yours. The powers that be didn't stop your one world citizen. You ran out of money. It was never designed to be realised, that ambition. It was a pyramid scheme all along. The whole point about the one world citizen was you joined, but you got two of your friends to join as well and send Ken money. Now he's got no money, allegedly, and he's in Hawaii and he's begging for more. And it's all the fault of the powers that be, because he's a massive threat to them.
Last year, I think many of you will know the story, but I was clinically dead after being poisoned, falling back, hitting my head. And again, you can feel the fucking dent in the back of my head.
You can feel the fucking dent in the back of my head. This is Ken's bullshit story, which has changed 1,000 times in the last 6 months. Apparently, he was the victim of an assassination attempt in Thailand. Ken says he was clinically dead, but he was revived by a Hawaiian man and then was thrown into a Thai jail for several months. Why? Well, Ken says for overstaying his visa. That is monumental bollocks. I've looked into this. The Thai authorities will not throw you into prison for weeks, let alone months, because you've overstayed your visa. They send you out of the country at the earliest opportunity, is what they do. He's lying. Okay, if Ken was injured in Thailand, it was because he fell off a bar stool and banged his head on the floor. Nobody tried to kill him. Nobody. Let's get back to the money then. Why should people send you money, Ken? Why should people send you money?
If I'm dead or homeless and getting robbed and threatened and blah, 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 my contribution will be post-mortem.
Ah, so we should send you money because if you die in a ditch of exposure on account of becoming homeless, We're fucked, are we, Ken? We're fucked without you. You're that important to the cause. Jesus, I don't know about you, but I'm reaching for my wallet.
Martyr or no martyr, whatever. Criminal, fraud, thief, as so many would like to say.
But you are a thief, Ken.
Truth is truth. I'll wield the truth till the end of my days without compromise. And I dare say I'm one of the best oral communicators, arguably, in modern history.
What the fuck was that?
I dare say I'm one of the best oral communicators, arguably, in modern history.
Oh, it deserves a third airing, that.
I dare say I'm one of the best oral communicators, arguably, in modern history.
What kind of fuckery is this?
Yeah. Ken's arguably one of the greatest communicators in modern history. Go, Ken. Good for you. Now, Ken knows that he has a bit of a reputation when it comes to raising funds for his get-rich-quick schemes. He knows that, Ken. However high he might be when he made that video on Monday or Tuesday. Tuesday, I think. He knows he's got a bit of a reputation. So he changes tactics here. And hilariously, Ken raises the possibility of a loan.
I really would be all too grateful to accept a loan in which you say, I'll give you this much, and we'll come up with an agreement in contract in which I sign, Ken O'Keefe, as...
The contract would be null and void right there because his name isn't Ken O'Keefe. Straight away, the contract would be, well, unenforceable.
An IOU.
An IOU.
With the terms. So if you lend me whatever amount, please, let's, you know, if you're going to lend me something, let's make it, ideally, at least 50.
At least what?
$50.
$50.
No, that's only going to buy me a short period of time, at which point I'll scramble and try and make things happen fast, because I'll just be doing the same thing again. I'd rather borrow more than that.
Sure you would, Ken.
You know, 500 total, so if we got a bunch of people together... $500 would allow me to buy a ticket.
A ticket to where, Ken?
To go where I will be safe.
Where the fuck would you be safe, Ken? The powers that be are desperate to find you.
Ultimately, to get my passport, as those were stolen as well.
Where, Ken?
My Irish passport, so that I can return to Ireland.
Right, okay, right. He wants to go to Ireland. All right. Good stuff. Did Ken mention IOU in there? I think he did.
An agreement in contract in which I sign, Ken O'Keefe, as an IOU with the terms.
An IOU from Ken. An IOU from Ken O'Keefe. This is what would happen if you accepted an IOU from Ken O'Keefe. This is what you would end up saying.
Where's all the money?
That's as good as money, sir. Those are IOUs. Go ahead and add it up. Every cent's accounted for. Look.
Yeah, I'll take an IOU from you, Ken. Sure I will. Why not? Oh, Jesus. Back to the appeal then, Ken. Back to the appeal. Come on, Ken. Stay on message.
And I am a strong, strong man.
Strong man. Not strong enough to sleep on a rock in a cave, apparently.
But I have been pushed.
He's been pushed, man.
And cut off.
Oh, fucking hell.
And seriously targeted.
Oh, he's been seriously targeted, Ken has.
So, if you don't
believe... By the Jews, apparently.
Believe that.
I don't believe it, Ken.
Spread bile about me and say he's at it for money again.
But you are out for money again, Ken.
That fraud, that thief, Go on. Do it.
I've done it 1,000 times, Ken. And I don't do it to, because you're worthless. You're a worthless sack of shit. An excuse for a human being. I don't do it to bully you. I do it to expose you so that people won't contribute to you, so that they will stop giving you money and believe in your bullshit. It's as simple as that. That's why we do it, right?
For those of you who know, I'm a decent man.
Jesus.
Well, if you can spare $5, a buck.
He's gone from 500 now down to a buck. He's gone from, come on, if you're going to do it, you know, if you're going to loan me money, make it something decent. Now he's gone to, I'll take a buck now. I'll take 50 cents, goddammit.
It may make the difference between a meal or no meal. And certainly if you can give a little bit more, if enough people give a little bit, then I will not be on the street with too many bags to carry in potential harm's way. And again, I have reason to believe, well, I don't have reason to believe, I know for a fact.
What? What do you know?
The powers that be would like me dead.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But it needs to look somehow like I wasn't killed, otherwise you make me a martyr, at which point more people are going to look at what I've been saying, and that's on record, man, so good luck scrubbing all of that.
Nobody's going to scrub anything. This is mythomania. I haven't returned to the subject of mythomania in a long time, but it infests the truther industrial complex right across the board. The truther thinks, you see, that the truther is hugely important. And many, I mean, Ken has enjoyed a very big following at one time. There's no doubt about that. But most truthers don't have that many followers, just a few on Facebook and on Twitter. But they have these grandiose ideas, truthers, about their importance in this fight between good and evil. You know, in other words, there can't be any solution to it without my very central involvement to it. And Ken has managed to convince himself of this over the years. It's horse shit. Nobody cares about Ken. Nobody has done more in the truther industrial complex to ferment identity politics. All that Ken has ever done in his whole career, really, is blame everything on the Jews. You know, Ken is very fond of terms like Jew-tube. And, you know, when he speaks about people like Janice Barcelo, Junice Barcelo, Ken's played that game. Because there are plenty of people who love that. They want to hear that about the Jews. And Ken's made a lot of money out of it. But he's no threat to the establishment. Nobody wants him dead. Why? Why would you want him dead? What has he ever done? Crazy this, right? Crazy. He has a boat, apparently. This is a really interesting story, this. He's got a boat. I think Ken should sober up before posting these videos on YouTube. Then he might make mistakes like this.
I do have my boat out here, by the way.
He has a boat.
I can't believe it, but my boat that I rescued all these turtles with, that I don't know what the market value is today, but I went out and inspected it just like 4 or 5 days ago. Holy crap. I did take care of that thing. I am a captain, dive instructor, even lifeguard, so on and so forth. I am impressed at how good we did. Really, I re-fiberglassed, with help, re-fiberglassed that whole thing. We put a Volvo Penta engine on that, which is worth $40,000. That's how much we paid for that engine. It's got a duo stainless steel prop alone. It's worth like $1,400, $1,500, something like that. And I see no dry rot. I see no ingress of water, any hull damage. In fact, the hull looks spotless. The electric, which we had all done professionally, it is incredible.
Sounds almost good enough to live on, doesn't it?
Incredible. I see no rust. The bimini top, which I thought, surely that'll be like faded to white. It's almost as it looked 15 years ago, and it's been sitting in the sun all this time in Hawaii. So that boat only needs a flat tire fixed.
A flat tire fixed?
That's it. Out of four tires, one of them is flat, so fix a flat probably.
I'm guessing he means the boat is in dry dock and it's on one of those trailers, presumably. Maybe that's what he means.
We do the job there. The batteries need to be charged. And I don't have transportation and I will be homeless, but you know, if I can get a vehicle, a tow truck, Not a tow truck, a vehicle, a truck of decent size with a tow hitch, I could then tow that boat to the harbor with batteries charged, and I'm sure, I'm almost 100% positive.
Get to the point.
That thing is going to start right up. I'll change the oil and do a couple things, like, you know, I don't want to be stupid and in a hasty rush, but that boat is probably worth, conservatively, considering that the engine alone with low miles that has been running on LPG, which is better for the environment, better for the engine, less emissions, you name it. Come on, at least $30,000 minimum.
Minimum. So why wouldn't you sell the boat, seeing as you aren't using it, and use that money to get yourself back on your feet, Ken? Why? Let's hear from Ken.
But if I had to, I would use that to build KOK69 and do weekly programming live, two shows a week. I won't get into the details right now, but the bottom line is when I get that online, it's going to go. And, you know, my audience is pretty big, man. And we'll see how big it is when I'm doing weekly stuff. A conversation with Ken O'Keefe, and I'm going to DJ and VJ and dance, which most of you have never seen that, but believe me, I can move. So.
No, don't say so. Stay with that. Stay with that. Don't say so. What was that again?
And I'm going to DJ and VJ and dance, which most of you have never seen that, but believe me, I can move.
What was that? VJ? DJ and VJ and dance, he said.
And I'm going to DJ and VJ and dance, which most of you have never seen that, but believe me, I can move.
Wow. Go for it, Ken. Right, enough of that. Let's wrap this up. You'll never get the thought out of your mind now. I might just invest myself in Ken's DJ VJ dancing business. I might just... tell us more, Ken. I might just invest in it. No, he doesn't want to tell us more, does he? Yes, on this investment opportunity, the VJ, DJ, dancing business.
If you want to invest, fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Let's work out an agreeable, mutually beneficial term. And if you simply want to help me, please, oneworldcitizen@spamrest.com. This is too long already. I have always suffered from...
I'm really enjoying it, to be honest.
This ability to be brief, but thank you for taking the time. Hopefully you've watched it straight through, and if you help me, God bless you. Really, I'd rather not be homeless, so and dead I'd rather be alive too, but hey, you know, let's help me out a bit more, and I swear I'll give back, and we'll do this as an IOU.
What are you, Ken?
A bum.
What was that?
A bum.
Ken O'Keefe there. If you're still falling for the nonsense, if you're still falling for the type of nonsense vomited out by Ken O'Keefe, you know, you deserve him, really, don't you? If it means that much to you to be told that Zios and YouTubes and PayPal and all that, they're all responsible, all these people, for what happens in your world. If you need to be told that by a guy like Ken O'Keefe, well, then you deserve him. I don't know what's going on. I've spoken briefly a week or so ago to Max Egan, who, of course, initially exposed what Ken was doing around this One World Citizen thing. I have no idea if the guy is mentally ill. I don't think he is. I think he's got all the signs of somebody who has used a lot of junk. And he has used... He has been able to use a lot of junk to procure junk and other drugs because he swindled people out of hundreds of thousands of pounds on get rich schemes. There is an article at richieallen.co.uk which was published, I reckon, 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago. It's called Where is Ken O'Keefe and Has He Legally Ended War Yet? Just wondering like. And if you want to know, if you want to see a kind of a detailed analysis of what O'Keefe has been doing over the years, go to richieallen.co.uk. Where is Ken O'Keefe? And has he legally ended war yet? It's educational. All right. This is the Richie Allen Radio Show. When we come back, it's back to the news. This is The Bravery and a song called An Honest Mistake. Music from The Bravery on the Richie Allen Radio Show. It is the 19th of December 2019. Welcome back. We're going to do the news now. Public service broadcasting that earlier on. Not kicking somebody when somebody's down, taking no joy whatsoever in the situation that someone has found himself in. None, because he didn't con me. I didn't give him any money. When he mooted this pyramid scheme, One World Citizen, I went after it very early. In fact, I emailed him back when he asked me to endorse it and said it was a nonsense. I published the emails. A woman called Diana Amato, a Muppet from Australia that was involved in that at the beginning, asked me to endorse, and I said, no, it's a pyramid scheme, obviously. David Icke as well battered it right back and said, no, not a chance. And that's the way we left it for about 6 months until Max Egan blew the whistle on it. People say karma this and karma that. That's not for me. Punishment and all that, that's not for me. I take no revelry in somebody's misfortune, however much of a scumbag they are. None. But it's public service broadcast and people have to know this. It's a cautionary tale. So when other truthers are coming to you for money, for charities, for this and for that, and for people who need help and all this sort of nonsense, you know, you might take a second look at it before you part with your hard-earned cash. I'll be back with the news after this. Don't go anywhere. Your Richie Allen Show.
Renowned healer Mark Bajerski travels the world to find the most unique and powerful crystals for self-healing. Since the ancient times, crystals have been used as healing tools. They hold a natural healing vibration and are highly charged in positive energy. Mark teaches how to channel the universal energy and transfer it to the crystal to activate its healing power. Each crystal is used for its unique ability to target a different physical or emotional challenge. Mark Bajerski is an author, healer, speaker, and founder of the Pure Energy Healing Academy. He shares powerful messages of inspiration and healing on his daily YouTube videos, reaching millions worldwide. Mark's crystals, healing oils, and incense sticks are most sought after by other healers. His collection is available online at www.markbajerski.com. His work is presented through Lemon House, a company that creates and curates consciously made gifts.
Now, welcome back. Donald Trump has become the third U.S. president in history to be impeached by the House of Representatives. You know that by now. You should do. He will be tried in the Senate, or will he? And the trial would determine whether or not he remains in his office. They voted on two charges, that the president had abused his power and that he had obstructed Congress. Nearly all Democrats voted for the charges and every Republican voted against. Trump's Republicans control the Senate, so it's very unlikely that he will be removed from power. That's about the size of it. Democrats are already unhappy, according to the BBC, at the way the trial could be held. Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, has indicated today it might delay sending the articles of impeachment to the Senate in order to bargain on the terms of the proceedings. That could put off the trial. It could put it all off for an indeterminate period. And that would, I suppose, deny Trump his expected acquittal. But Donald Trump isn't worried, though. Here he is. He's not worried at all.
I'm not worried because it's always good when you don't do anything wrong, you get impeached. That may be a record that will last forever. But you know what they have done? They've cheapened the impeachment process. And now anybody that becomes, you know, this is a sacred position. Anybody that becomes president, I mean, they could have a phone call and they get impeached. So if the Republicans, if you had a Democrat as president, we have a Republican House, they don't like the guy for whatever reason or the woman, they impeach the person. It's cheapened it. It's exactly what our founding fathers didn't want, and they said it could happen, and it's happened.
I bet you Trump couldn't name the so-called founding fathers. Trump's ridiculous, rabid, redneck supporters, yes, are losing their shit, as an old clip of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi surfaced from 1998. Here's Pelosi back in 1998. Jesus, she was a fox, by the way. She was a fox back in 1998. Here she is criticizing Republicans for trying to impeach then Democrat President Bill Clinton. And you know, it all sounds very, very familiar.
Today, the Republican majority is not judging the president with fairness, but impeaching him with a vengeance. In the investigation of the president, fundamental principles which Americans hold dear, privacy, fairness, checks and balances, have been seriously violated. And why? Because we are here today because the Republicans in the House are paralyzed with hatred of President Clinton, and until the Republicans free themselves of this hatred, our country will
suffer. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it?
Our country will suffer. This is not about, so it's not about Whitewater, it's not about Travelgate, and it's not about Filegate. It's about sex. It's about a punishment searching for a crime that doesn't exist. How can the Republicans, we come to punishment, how can the Republicans exalt Newt Gingrich to the highest post of Speaker after he admitted lying to Congress and try to impeach the President of the United States for lying about his personal affairs? I urge my colleagues to vote no. Stop this hatchet job on the presidency. Stop this hypocrisy. Stop this hatred. Vote no on all four counts.
All very, very familiar. It could be scripted, right? I did not have sex with that woman. I never put my penis anywhere near her mouth. Swear to God and hope to die. Bill Clinton, of course, I'm not only old enough to remember it, but I began my career in the media when it was all happening. Brexit, yes, and the NHS have dominated the Tory party's agenda. Well, the Tory party is the government now, and that agenda is revealed in the Queen's speech. The government's priority, allegedly, is the UK's exit from the European Union on January 31st, and a commitment that extra NHS funding will be enshrined in law. This was announced today by the Queen. 30 bills were announced in the Queen's speech, more than 30. Seven of them were on Brexit. This comes as the government says it will close its department for exiting the European Union on January 31st. Do you want to hear the Queen? You do, you don't? Let's just hear a smidgen of it.
My government's priority is to deliver the United Kingdom's departure from the European Union on the 31st of January. My ministers will bring forward legislation to ensure the United Kingdom's exit on that date, and to make the most of the opportunities that this brings for all the people of the United Kingdom. Thereafter, my ministers will seek a future relationship with the European Union based on a free trade agreement that benefits the whole of the United Kingdom.
She sounds so harmless, doesn't she? So frail. Yeah. What about the NHS then, Queen?
For the first time, the National Health Service's multi-year funding settlement, agreed earlier this year, will be enshrined in law. Steps will be taken to grow and support the National Health Service's workforce, and a new visa will ensure qualified doctors, nurses, and health professionals have fast-track entry to the United Kingdom. Hospital car parking charges will be removed for those in greatest need.
Yes! No more hospital car park charges. Great stuff. Are you delighted with that, Jar? Jesus, that Queen is feckin' old, isn't she? Charles had to manoeuvre her around. And he's old as well. She's so old, when she saw Jurassic Park, it brought back memories. I got a few of these. I dug out a few of these. I'm in one of those moods today. Because I've had one of those days. I've got a few of these. I better get some music. I've got a few of these. She's so old, she took her driver's test on a T-Rex. She's so old, she got slapped by Eve for blowing Adam. She's so old, she farts dust. She's so old, she has an autographed Bible. She's so old, the first Christmas was her first Christmas. And finally, oh no, she is so old, whenever she walks, she gets tripped over by her own titties. Am I allowed to say that, even on an independent radio show? She's so old that whenever she walks, she gets tripped over by her own titties. Am I allowed to say that? You'll never get Her Majesty's generous scoops of mouth-watering flesh out of your mind now. Yes. That's me gone. Anyway, here's Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister.
I feel a colossal sense of obligation to the electorate that we are humbled to serve, and to those people who lent us their votes, however hesitantly. This government will now engage flat out on a programme of change for the better. Tomorrow is the day. when we finally peel back the plastic wrapping about which you have heard so much, Mr. Speaker, and present our oven-ready deal, and it will go into the microwave as the withdrawal agreement. It works in both devices, this deal.
Yeah, it's all very funny. And what about Jeremy Corbyn then? Increasingly despondent Jeremy. Corbyn just wishes to Jesus that we can just get to Christmas. And when he comes back, get that Labour leadership contest over as soon as possible so I can take my humiliation. I can take my humiliation right back to the back benches and enjoy my six-figure salary in peace. Jeremy Corbyn.
Our NHS, the country's most precious institution, is on its knees due to this Tory government. Yeah. The government now talks about enshrining the funding settlement in law. Enough of the gimmicks, just fund it properly. Yeah. I don't remember the last Labour government having to pass a law to force itself to invest in the NHS. Yeah. Yet it increased NHS funding by a rate of 6% per year. This government is proposing little more than half that.
Yeah, Jeremy Corbyn, yeah. That's all you're going to hear about the Queen's speech on this particular programme. 8 minutes to the top of the hour. It is your Richie Allen show. And there's a few more stories I'd like to get through. While we gather them, let's hear Eagles. Let's hear the Eagles. Fab Radio 2, TriggerWarning.tv, the Richie Allen radio show, multiple platforms, tune in radio app as well. This is New Kid in Town, back with more in about 3.5 minutes or thereabouts. Another new kid in town. 4 minutes to six, the Richie Allen radio show. Just to remind you, there will be a Sunday View on Sunday at 11. And then on Monday, this coming Monday, the 23rd, that'll be the last show of the year. And what I'm planning to do on Monday is gather a few tunes and basically chat with you. So I'll be opening the telephone line to the programme and the Skype thing into the programme. So if you want to join me on Monday, I'll be on air as usual between 5 and 7 this coming Monday. And that'll be it then until Sunday, January 5th. That's the way it's working out this year. So I look forward to your company on Monday, but we will have a look at the Sunday papers as usual this coming Sunday morning. All right? All right. It's been a busy all week. Feels like a busy all week. We've had some top guests on the programme this week. It feels crazy busy. I don't know why, but then a few other things going on, the computer and everything else this morning. Maybe that's it. And maybe it's Christmas as well. You know, you're trying to do one or two things around your job as well. So it feels a bit mad this week, but it's flown by. Thanks for all the tweets during the Ken O'Keefe bit. Again, for those of you who might be a bit sore about that, because I know there are people who worshipped the guy back in the early part of this decade to the point it's very difficult for you to hear it. But it's important that you don't continue to throw good money after bad money. It's equivalent to speaking to somebody who keeps going to a bookies and losing money. Stop doing it. It's not, triumphalism. There's a word that nobody has used yet, but I'm sure I'll be accused of it later on. It isn't triumphalism. Yes, I'm mocking the guy. Of course I am. In analysing his latest begging bowl video on YouTube. But it's important. And it's important you apply that knowledge that you've learned, not today, but from having been stung yourself so many times, it's important that you are very circumspect in the future about these things. And don't just, somebody starts talking about Gaza again, you know. There's a couple of them doing the rounds at the moment, actually. There are a couple of accounts on Twitter, I'm sure you've seen them, appearing to be from Palestinians based in Gaza. And they are as fake as a 7-bob note. There's a lot of that going on at the moment. You know, people saying, you know, the truth or industrial complex, these people are very clever. Millions of people around the world are fed up. They're sick to death of what's happening. They're worried. They're concerned. And the truthers know this. So they know that they can insert themselves into your life on social media, tell you what you want to hear. Basically feed your opinions back to you. And what's happening is now, I've noticed on Twitter, there are accounts now appearing to be from people in Gaza, and they are absolute bullshit. You know? That's what's happening. And you need to be, again, you need to wise up a bit, is what you need to do. Let's have the headlines before we talk about a very serious story that I was going to talk about this morning on the live stream, but of course I didn't live stream, and that is about a tribunal that has ruled a woman was wrong to talk about gender identity and gender politics. She was wrong to say there are only two biological sexes. This is trending on Twitter today. It's trending as hashtag I stand with Maya. It's Maya Forstetter. This is the woman. Maya Forstetter lost her job, took it to a tribunal, and she lost. And this is very serious. So after we get the headlines from London Town, we'll talk about that. And I'm looking forward to your comments on it as well. I also saw an utterly bizarre story on RT today, which I thought couldn't be true. Not because I was casting any aspersions on the journalistic integrity of RT, but I saw a story and I thought, that can't be true. And I'll tell you what that is in a few minutes as well. First of all, off to London Town, and we'll get the headlines. I think it'll be Ollie Barrett. Have a listen to what Ollie is telling us, and I'll be back with more in, as I said, very shortly.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Ollie Barrett. Thousands of people have been detained in India after defying a ban on protests against a controversial citizenship law. Russian President Vladimir Putin's dismissing the impeachment of President Trump as political infighting. A court in the Philippines has convicted the masterminds of a 2009 political massacre of murder, and the UK government set out its legislative agenda for the year in a Queen's speech at a fresh state opening of Parliament.
Thank you, Wally. The absolute final word on Ken O'Keefe today. One or two of you have said to me, Richie, surely he didn't swindle over the years £500,000. £500,000 is what you would call, what would be a modest estimate. It's around that or much, much more. We're talking about things that he got people to endorse him, like George Galloway. He got people like Jeremy Corbyn to endorse him. Now those men, Galloway and Corbyn, they had no idea that O'Keefe was a con man. But through schemes like Aloha Palestine, which is a major scheme, and Ship to Gaza, hundreds of thousands of pounds was generated, including the World Citizen. And all that money disappeared. Ken O'Keefe. So £500,000 is a conservative guess, I would say. I understand why you think that's an enormous amount of money. Conservative, I would say. Anyway. Right, we're going to talk now about that tribunal yesterday. After this, stay with The Richie Allen Show.
The Richie Allen Show relies on your support. Go to richieallen.co.uk and set up a monthly donation today.
Welcome back. You might think that was ironic. Not really. It's 2.5 minutes past six then. This is a big story. Hashtag I stand with Maya. J.K. Rowling has gotten involved in it. Have a listen. A researcher who lost her job at a think tank because she tweeted the transgender women cannot change their biological sex has lost a test case because her opinions were deemed to be absolutist. Yeah. The Independent says today this was a keenly anticipated judgment and that it was expected to stir up fresh debate over transgender issues. Now, the guy who ruled against the researcher who lost her job, her name is Maya Forstetter, or Forstetter. I think it's Forstetter. Maya Forstetter. The judge is a guy called Judge James Taylor. T-A-Y-L-E-R. Not the James Taylor, obviously, with the acoustic guitar and all the hippies. Judge James Taylor ruled against her. She said, she tweeted, not in an aggressive way, not that it should matter, that transgender women cannot change their biological sex. And she's lost. He ruled against her. He said her views did not have the protected characteristic of a philosophical belief. Now, she's a tax expert, is this woman. She was a visiting fellow at the Centre for Global Development, which is an international think tank that campaigns against poverty and inequality. Based in Washington, and her contract was not renewed. In fact, it's based in Washington and London. And her contract was not renewed in March after a dispute over publicising one's views on social media. She was accused of using offensive and exclusionary language in tweets opposing government proposals to reform the Gender Recognition Act to allow people to self-identify as the opposite sex. There are several very serious issues here. This is a woman who worked for a think tank that worked around poverty and inequality. She has a personal point of view that the government should not change the Gender Recognition Act to allow people to self-identify as the opposite sex. She doesn't agree with it and tweeted as such. She was accused then of using offensive and exclusionary language. Contract wasn't renewed and she went, well, that's not good enough. And she was heard at the Central London Employment Tribunal. They convened a preliminary hearing over the issue of whether her tweets, such as men cannot change into women, should be protected under the Equality Act of 2010. She funded that legal challenge through Crowd Justice, a crowdfunding website. The judgment came in late yesterday. I was going to talk about this morning. 26 pages. Judge Taylor, James Taylor, dismissed her claim and said, I conclude from the totality of the evidence that Forstater is absolutist in her view of sex, and it is a core component of her belief that she will refer to a person by the sex she considered appropriate, even if it violates their dignity and or creates an intimidating, hostile, degrading, humiliating or offensive environment. The approach is not worthy of respect in a democratic society. Now, Orwell would be applauding those lines in his grave and saying, brilliant, brilliant. Wish I'd thought of that. Brilliant. Imagine this woman who wasn't chasing people around Twitter saying, you're not a woman, you're a man, wasn't doing that, was saying based on the news, remember, because it's been all over the news, remember, the changes to the Gender Recognition Act, and everybody is having an opinion on it, and her very mild opinion was basically that men can't change into women. She might think of herself as a feminist, she might not, I have no idea. But according to this guy, it's very important we hear this again, I conclude from the totality of the evidence that Forstater is absolutist in her view of sex, and it is a core component of her belief that she will refer to a person by the sex she considered appropriate, even if it violates their dignity and or creates an intimidating, hostile, degrading, humiliating or offensive environment. The approach isn't worthy of respect in a democratic society. You can rephrase what the judge James Taylor said there to say that it is the absolute right of those who were born as men and who declared themselves to be women to be protected at all times from hearing or seeing comments made by those who disagree. Judge is basically saying it's no longer acceptable to disagree with somebody who says, I was born in the wrong body. I was born a woman, but I'm really a man. Crazy, this. She responded to the judgment. She said, I struggle to express the shock and disbelief I feel at reading this judgment, which I think will be shared by the vast majority of people who are familiar with my case. And there's a bit of a Twitter storm about this today. J.K. Rowling, who's probably the best-selling living author, isn't she? At the moment, I mean, billions of books, maybe not billions, but probably a billion anyway. Different languages, Harry Potter and everything else. And J.K. Rowling has weighed in on the side of Maya Forstater. And she's getting hammered on Twitter now. Forstater says, my belief is that sex is a biological fact and is immutable. There are two sexes, male and female. Men and boys are male, women and girls are female. It's impossible to change sex. These were, until very recently, understood as basic facts of life by almost everyone. She makes a good point there. Very recent phenomenon, this lunacy. She finishes by saying, this judgment removes women's rights and the right to freedom of belief and speech. It gives judicial license for women and men who speak up for objective truth and clear debate to be subject to aggression, bullying, no platforming and economic punishment. Yeah. I would be foolish to add to the very eloquent statement by Maya Forstater. There's nothing to add to that. She's absolutely right. I don't know if they're going to try and appeal it. I don't know if they can appeal it, if they have the recourse to do so. If there is a pathway to doing that legally, I have no idea. She was basically fired. Forget this, not renewing the contract. You're fired because she was told hate speech, causing offence. She was like, well, I'm a woman. There is a national debate going on at the moment about gender. The government, well, during the election campaign, at least two parties were saying they would reform the Gender Recognition Act to allow people to identify as whatever they liked. I took part in the debate online and stated my belief, which is fairly basic, as she said. Sex is a biological fact. Men can't be women. What a judgment. I wonder, will there be a review? I wonder, is there a possibility of a judicial review? Of course, these things cost enormous amounts of money. And there might be no political appetite for a judicial review of that decision. But that's free speech and free thought down the toilet right there. Yeah, I said before, the utmost respect for people. We've heard from some lovely transgender and transsexual men and women on this programme. Lovely people. No virtue signalling here. Lovely people. People I'd be delighted to spend time with. And somebody says to you, this is how I see myself, and no problem, of course not. But to have this enshrined in law, to kill full stop, to kill dead in the water, any discussion around biological sex ever again. Well, it's terrifying, and that's obviously the agenda here. 12 minutes past the hour. I'll come to your tweets in a minute. And speaking of this, you know, and hate speech, you might think this is a bit funny, but it isn't. It's serious. Remember I told you the other day about the professor who wants terms like nerd, geek, and brain box and brainiac to be declared hate speech? Remember that? She was on Good Morning Britain this morning. Her name is Dr. Sonia Falk. And again, you might think this is nothing. You might think that this is one of those, you know, mid-morning, light-hearted, silly debate pieces. It's not. It's part of an agenda. We need to delegitimise terms like nerd, geek, brain box and brainiac because they are hateful and cause distress and emotion to people, high-functioning people, to very intelligent children and adults. They need to be protected. This woman was on GMB this morning, Dr. Sonia Falk, and is asked to explain why she wants these terms declared to be hate speech.
Explain your position on this.
Well, I think people do find it startling because very high IQ people are a minority group in society that are very much ignored and they're not understood and are largely neglected. So, it is the case that individuals with very high IQ very often are bullied. At school, for example, they are a target for being bullied, often quite viciously. And I found that in my own research, as well as there's a lot of other research out there that documents this.
No, they're often the targets of envy. You know, I did well in school. I did well in school, from primary school. Things made sense to me. The literal subjects did. I struggled with mathematics, I still do. The literal ones did. And I did well. And I would get teased for it because I would get decent scores. Or, let's be honest, I would get very good scores in English, in history, in geography, in Gaeilge, my language. I mean, mates of Brainy, Brainbox, Alan, all that sort of stuff. you just laugh and move on. She's very serious and she's spent a lot of time researching it. They've also got a guy on called Bobby Siegel. Yeah, that's his name, Bobby Siegel. Bobby is a self-confessed geek and doesn't agree with her.
Bobby, do you ever feel bored or neglected?
So, firstly, as a school teacher, I'll say, obviously, I don't condone bullying or discrimination in any form. But if you look at the term geek, and last night I was on Twitter and Instagram conducting polls with my friends and people I don't know, and generally the consensus was that whilst the terms like geek and nerd may have historically been seen as negative, people have now embraced the term and seen it as positive. So again, I would say I'm a geek and I'm proud. In fact, I've written a whole book on about how maths has changed my life. And I think with geeks and nerds, if you see it as a negative thing, it can be negative. But if you embrace it and say, actually, to be a geek means a good thing.
You've got a thing called Geek Chic. Yeah. It's a thing like Big Bang Theory. I've never watched it, but it's all about really clever people. It's become kind of, you know, we've got our own lovely glamorous geek in the corner over there. Am I still allowed to say it? I hope it doesn't offend you. You know, what do you think, Laura? I mean, you are, you know, you're a very, very clever woman. Mathematics, science, it's all your thing. What do you think about it? And when you were at school, you're obviously bright. Did you get picked on?
I guess now...
This is a woman who works for GMB. She's a bit of a tech expert.
Now, I think of it as being really cool. And I guess at school, I was a really confident kid. But I can see when you're at school, generally it was those kids that liked the science and the maths that most of the other children just thought they were maybe a bit different. So I think when you're a kid, if you're being called a nerd, it could be seen as by that child as a negative thing. But I always thought it was positive. I quite liked that I was different. All my other girl friends did English and history, and I was the only one that did the maths and the sciences. So I just think it depends on the type of person you are. But I think you're right. Now, I think the thoughts are changing, and liking science and math and technology and engineering is cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, we should embrace it.
Well, I think things are changing.
This is Sonia Falk again. She wants to change the law.
Words do evolve over time, but it is also true that there are many words like egghead, brainiac, if you look them up, and nerd itself means socially awkward and contemptible.
Yeah, but we've got TV, there's quiz shows called both those things, brainiac and egghead, and they're seen as things to aspire to have that sort of intelligence, to have that sort of academic brilliance.
Mm. Right, so they've made some good points, haven't they? It's not so uncool anymore to be a geek or be a nerd. We have eggheads. With these programs, what's her response?
Well, I think that's the sort of spot, the limelight version of it,
right,
where people who are, like Bobby's a great example of somebody who has a great talent in mathematics and a great talent for communication, so is able to put those ideas across and be really accepted.
But
it's people who are not accepted for standing out and being different, who aren't confident and don't know how to put themselves across.
But to legislate, I mean, you want the law to be changed?
Well, I think neurodiversity is an
neurodiversity.
An aspect of individual difference, which really ought to be recognized.
This is what I talk about when I talk about identity politics. About creating new and exotic all the time, new and ever more exotic groups that ultimately then need to be given a special status and need to be protected. And they are getting ever more exotic, aren't they? Neurodiversity, she says.
Of individual difference.
Yeah, listen to this again. This is kind of the crux of it, really.
He changed?
Well, I think neurodiversity is an aspect of individual difference.
That's an aspect of individual difference, neurodiversity.
Which really ought to be recognised in our society.
Well, just explain what you mean by neurodiversity.
The way people's brains are different.
Right.
So different levels of IQ, things like autism. It's ways that people think differently and function differently from each other. And that's often not understood.
Not often understood, but it needs to be protected. You know, people with high IQs, that's an identity group now of its own. It's amazing, you know. You get a group of women in a room now. Where it's going is, or where people like her want things to go. You might get a group of women in a room, and I suppose at one time in the past they might have thought, well, you know, the characteristic we share together is that we're all women, we're all feminine. And then that graduated and progressed, didn't it, to other forms of identity, like, well, we're all Manchester United fans, or we're all socialists, or we're all feminists, or we're all Richard and Judy book club members. And then eventually it starts getting diluted to the point where you have, well, we're all intelligent. And that's unique to us. Therefore, we need to be, first of all, we need to be affirmed. Then we need to have protection under the law. So people can't point at us and go, ah, you bloody brain box. Ah, you bloody geek. Can't have that. Ultimately, name calling. But not name calling. That's too simplistic, isn't it? Individual expression. Expressing yourself as you feel in the moment will disappear completely out of society. Spontaneity. Natural conversation. The natural interpersonal relationships that we have with one another, the way we gently rib one another, the way we gently, I don't know, chide one another, joke with one another, the way we sometimes, when we get to know one another, the way we accentuate the differences that we have, you know, gone. Why? Who would want that to happen? You know, again, I would recommend you read Being in Time by Gilad Atzmon, which is about the best book there is that I've read anyway on identity politics. And ultimately the establishment, the status quo, the elite, whatever you want to call them, ultimately they benefit from this. Because they don't care about people being called nerd or brainiac. They really don't care about arguments along the lines of, I don't believe that a man can ever be a woman. Those in charge, or the powers that be, that Ken would call them, they're using these things, these identity groups, they're using this new paradigm, ultimately, to shut down speech, to shut down discussion, to shut down investigation of them. That's where it goes. It's got to be as obvious as the nose on your face, right? It is madness. And I know there will be people listening to this laughing and saying, Rich, that's just silly. That's never going to happen. Now, I would listen to this and I would say, oh, yeah, it's a bit much. It's probably never going to happen. Now, maybe it won't. Maybe nerd and geek, maybe those words will not be outlawed in the law. But you know what? It's out there now, isn't it? It's out there. It's in the consciousness now. All right, well, maybe we shouldn't be speaking to people like that. Where does it all end, eh? Well, it all ends for somebody like Maya Forstater with losing a job that she probably needed very badly, like all of us, and then losing a tribunal because the judge says, well, no, you can't say or think that a man can never be a woman because that hurts somebody's feelings. Can't have it. I think I had a message from Jean Anne there, who's put this fairly brilliantly, in fact. You know, let me get it. Does that mean, says Jean Anne, if you don't believe in me as I present, I don't exist? How very scary, says Jean. See, that's brilliant. Think about Jean Anne Crowley, bang on the money there. What these activists are saying, and they don't represent the majority of trans men and women. They don't. They don't even represent a large number of trans men and women. These are sinister people. They've got nothing to do with trans people. What they are saying is, yes, yes, you must believe in me. I've said this before, actually, Jean Anne, not as eloquently as you, nowhere near as eloquently as you. I've said before in the past that we have to affirm. And that's what Twitter is for. Twitter is there to give you the opportunity to signal to the herd that you're on the right side. Very eloquently put by Jean Anne. Does that mean if you don't believe in me as I present, I don't exist? And what these people are demanding is that the rest of us publicly affirm that we accept it. When many of us don't accept it. And because we don't accept it, we're unlikely to want to publicly affirm that we accept it. But we're at a crossroads now where for some people, and I'm very lucky, at least for the time being I'm very lucky, because I get to be, I'm not patronising when I say that you're my boss, you're not my boss, I don't see you as my boss. I'm my boss. You, by supporting the independent media, enable me to do what it is I do. But I'm my own boss, and I determine every day what it is that I say on my platform. But the vast majority of people have no such look. It's a terrifying situation, wherever you work, whether you work in the service industry as a waiter or a waitress, whether you are an actor or an actress, whether you are in the city, whether you work in a call centre, you can't say stuff now on Twitter. You can't do. It takes one person to drop a little note to your employer to say, what about that Jean-Anne Crowley? What about that Richie Allen, eh? Eh? Do you see what he said? A stranger. And your employer might look at it and say, oh, Jesus, yeah, yeah. Did Richie say that he doesn't believe that a man can ever really be a woman? And you might find yourself in hot water. Crazy. Dangerous. Deadly. Deadly. Slagging each other off, says Jean-Anne. Real mark of friendship, being slagged affectionately by someone who really gets you. And she says, yeah, there's the rub, hurt feelings. That's what it is. Being called brainy, it didn't happen very often. Being laughed at because of my beanpole appearance when I was younger, very, very tall and very skinny, didn't do me any harm. There might have been times when I was a bit fed up of it, momentarily, but then I gave as good as I got. Didn't do me any harm, you know. It's up to parents to speak to children. If a parent is doing his or her job right, a child will never be brought low, will never be brought low by some reference to their appearance on a school playground. Never. If your parents are doing the right job. Who gives a shit? Who cares? Do you even like him? No, Daddy. Well, what do you give a shit then? You know, you're brilliant. You're great as you are. Doesn't matter what, you know? And they want to outlaw this stuff, and it's all based on protecting vulnerable groups to promote inclusivity, whatever the fuck that means. This notion of inclusivity, we know where that goes. I might open a factory next year. I won't, but I might do. I could put a hand on a stack of Bibles. You wouldn't believe me anyway, because I'm not somebody who puts a lot of store in swearing on the Bible. But I could look you in the eye and say, when I hire the 200 people I need, I swear that their sexual orientation, their gender, their religion, none of that, their ethnicity, none of that will matter a fucking damn to me. None of it. That's the truth of it. However, doesn't matter. Because the government says now, oh, you've got to be inclusive in your hiring and firing. You've got to be diverse in your hiring and firing. It'd be enough to turn you into fucking Hitler, wouldn't it? Where you might say, well, just to piss him off, I'll hire 200 fucking white people. You know? That's where it all goes. It's all very, very sinister, very scary, and I don't know what we're going to do about it. Woman gets fired because she says, I believe there are two biological sexes, and I don't believe you can change it. Even if she's wrong. Right? I know there are doctors who would disagree with her. Some of my friends disagree with her. They say, well, you can. But even if she's wrong, what difference does it make? Anyway, 90 minutes is your lot today. I'm done for today, by the way. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock UK time. We will read through the papers. And Monday, 5 to 7, it's open forum, open door. You know the Skype details. It's chat with Richie on Skype. You know the telephone number. I'll put it all out on Twitter again over the weekend. I'll get Rog to put it on Facebook, and I'll have a couple of classic Christmas songs lined up, and you can come on and chat with me on Monday. about anything, as is the way of it about anything. Until then, enjoy your weekend, look after yourselves and one another, and I'm going to leave you with the brand new heavies. Thanks for listening today and during the week. See you on Sunday.